Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
And now, whether you like it or not, Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Cliff, we are procrastinating.
Bad luck. Bad luck.
We are procrastinating starting this show.
Oh, Kendall, let's put it off until tomorrow.
Oh, I don't know. We've already started. Cliff, this episode is all about procrastination.
No.
Yes, it is, Cliff. Aren't you so excited? All right. I have the definition of procrastination, Cliff, and that is to put off doing something.
No. Hold on. Uh-huh. Okay. The other day, I was in class, and we watched a video.
Were you in Bubbleology? I haven't used that in a while.
Thank the Lord God. I was in a history class, and we were watching a video, which was with Peter Jennings. It was about the century, and it was about Memphis.
Peter Jennings.
And it had all this, like, footage of Elvis, like, when he was just starting out and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I just kept thinking, first of all, this is like a tree. It's shooting off in two branches. The first branch is Elvis was so good looking when he was like younger.
You think so?
He was incredibly good looking. And that led me to thinking, like, because I was really...
My mother thinks so.
I'm with your mom. And my grandma thinks so, too. And see, and they were probably there.
My mother was around
that time. Yeah. Yeah, so was my grandma. And so, but anyway, yeah.
What's the other branch?
I had a lot more about that branch, too, but I got snapped off like a twig.
Oh, you are procrastinating that branch, Cliff.
The other branch. Oh, sorry, let me finish the branch one. And so, when I was younger, when I was in like fourth grade, I was real obsessed with Elvis. Like, I loved him. I thought he was great. Do you think that was my sexual awakening?
Oh, you think Elvis turned you gay? Is that what you're saying?
No, maybe Elvis just made me realize I was gay.
Oh, I don't know. I, on the other hand...
When did you realize you were straight?
I, on the other hand, was terrified of Elvis because I thought his ghost was haunting our house.
That's hilarious.
I think in the sixth grade, I started to realize that I was attracted to girls in the class.
Oh, right. Girls.
Girls. Girls. Surprise, everybody. I was attracted to girls.
Little girls.
Now, Cliff, do you have anything to say about procrastination?
Kendall, I was not done. Branch number two.
Oh.
Elvis.
God, this is the longest branch I've ever heard. Why?
God, I'm sorry we have been on the... Does it not feel like this show's been going for 90 minutes?
It does.
But it is not.
And we're
it's been going
minutes.
For 3 minutes.
3.5 minutes.
I seriously thought, oh my God, I know it's been like 20 minutes. And then I looked and it wasn't. So thank God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Elvis.
I was thinking how we are like Elvis.
We are.
We are like two.
We're like Elvis in his like later years, right before he died. Enormous and not as popular.
Yes. We are like two sex symbol legends, Elvis and Marlon Brando, right before they died.
There you go.
Right before they died. And probably a little bit after their death. We look about like that. They've been rotting for a while.
Decomposing.
Oh, Kendall. Procrastination.
Wait, what was your second branch?
How we're like Elvis and Marlon Brando.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have anything to talk about procrastination, Cliff?
Well, never mind.
Instead of, you know, thinking of Marlon Brando and Elvis being dead.
He was hot, too.
I was watching Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution. Did you ever see that?
Many chins. Yes.
Well, I
think he's doing a good thing.
He is doing a good thing.
Think how skinny we would be had he revolutionized our childhoods.
I know. Why weren't you around for us, Jamie? Fuck you, Jamie. Naked Chef. Anyway, Jamie. Cliff. I'm watching his show, and he made this... Why did you turn the computer away from your face where I can't see you?
None of your business.
So he was doing the show, and he had a bet with the DJ that he could have, like, 1,000 people come, and the DJ was a real rude, like, Republican idiot. And he took this DJ to a mortuary to show him how bad, you know, the weight problem in this city was. And they had this huge casket there, Cliff. It was like the size of two caskets.
Oh, no?
And the people at the mortuary said, yeah, you know, we have to have this, and it can't travel in a normal hearse. It has to go in the back of a cargo van, and we have to, you know, you have to buy an extra plot at the cemetery, just
extra
like you have to
plot.
Have a second seat.
I have a cemetery plot, Kendall. Do you
I know you have a cemetery
in
plot.
In one of our first episodes, the magical first 20 episodes, I talked about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you brought that up. I was just about to talk about your plot because I was thinking that since you're going to be in this enormous casket, you're going to have to start saving now for the plot next to yours so you can have both plots because you're so fat.
I am enormous. Uh-huh. And really, when they bury me, Kendall, in this plot, people are going to drive by because there's going to be an enormous backhoe and it's going to have torn up, you know, like an acre of land. And people will drive by and they'll say, what are you building? What enormous department store is going right here? And they say, oh, no. Cliff died. This is where we're burying it.
And they're going to say,
it's going to be like an acre.
They're going to say, why did you put this big crane up, though? And they'll say, well, we have to have some way of lifting him into the ground.
We have to have a team of 50 helicopters holding wires.
On the other hand,
to my coffin.
I'm so skinny, Cliff. They are not even charging me for my plot of land.
We are going to bury you.
They are
going to
put me in between two existing plots.
In an empty wrapping paper tube is what we're going to bury you in. And it'll be too big. Mm. You'll be knocking around in there.
I'm going to be just like floating all over the place in this empty can.
Your skinny dead body.
And then it's going to start decomposing, and I'm going to be like tiny little bones. I'm so skinny, Cliff. I'm actually...
I can't wait to be that skinny. Kendall. Why? Do skinny people know
how lucky they are?
Our lives are.
No, Cliff, they don't.
Do they?
No, I saw a skinny person yesterday eating a big old piece of chocolate cake.
Bitch!
And I hate them.
I hate them.
I
hope they choked on it.
I did see somebody. I'm not going to mention any names. But back when I was in Nashville, I saw somebody that I graduated with that used to be real skinny and beautiful, and they were fat.
Oh, I love them.
And I was so happy because I thought, oh, back then you thought you were the shit when I was fat and people were making fun of me.
Yes.
Now you're the fat one. I was skinnier than they were, Cliff. I was the if we were in a room together,
I love it.
People would say, look at that skinny person next to that big old fatso. And they would be talking about me.
How? How?
That is not even funny, Cliff.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, Cliff.
Oh, no.
Hey. Oh, no.
Hey, you.
It's time for some fat bad jokes, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall, let me ask.
Oh, wait, should we put it off? Should we procrastinate? No,
well,
let's do the bad jokes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Ask me a question, Cliff.
Kendall, how do you get a nun pregnant?
I don't know. Pull back the crustiness.
Oh, you dress her up as an altar boy.
Oh,
Kendall, this is a Halloween.
Oh, Cliff, that's so topical. Take that punch.
I thought we needed a little Halloween right this very minute. Why don't witches wear panties when they're flying on their broomsticks?
Oh, Cliff, I don't know.
Oh, better traction.
Oh, slutty witches. Cliff. Cliff, this man, he goes to the nursing home to visit his 84-year-old father.
Oh, what a devoted son.
Well, he is. Now, while he's there, he notices that the nurse is giving his father hot chocolate and Viagra.
Ooh.
And the man,
baby.
He says, why are you doing that? I mean, at his age, what is that going to do for him? And the nurse says, well, the hot chocolate will help him sleep. And the man, he says, well, what about the Viagra? And she said, well, that keeps him from rolling out of bed.
Oh.
Oh. Boy. Keeps me from rolling out of bed.
Oh, I'm my goodness.
Kidding. The fat keeps me from rolling out of bed.
Oh, Kendall, there is a joke that I'm going to tell you.
You are like flowing through papers over there like you're writing a novel.
I know. Well, I'm writing. I am a novelist.
I know.
But anyway, I have a joke I'm going to tell you, and I picked this joke solely on the basis of its first line. It's probably the best first line of any joke we have ever told.
Oh, my God. A nun walks into a bar.
Not to build it up too much, but here it goes.
It's only downhill.
A husband and a wife are on a nudist beach when suddenly a wasp buzzes into the wife's vajayjay.
So you could stop there and I would be just perfectly content.
That's it. That's the joke. No, okay, real quick.
Real quick.
Naturally enough, wasp in the vajayjay, she panics. The husband is also quite shaken, but manages to put a coat on her, pull up his shorts, and carry her into the car. Then he makes a mad dash to the doctor. The doctor, after examining her, says that the wasp is too far in to remove with forceps. Oh, God, this poor woman. So he says to the husband, he will have to try and entice it out. Oh, Lord, Kendall. By putting honey on his wang and withdrawing it as soon as he feels the wasp.
Oh.
Oh, and so the honey is smeared. But because of his wife screaming and his frantic dash to the doctor and the general panic, Kendall, he can't get it up. So the doctor says he'll perform the deed. I know. The doctor says, well, I'll perform the deed.
Of course
he will. If you and the wife don't object.
That's naturally Obama's new health care plan.
Give me honey. Right. Now, naturally, both anger... Oh, excuse me. Naturally, both agree for fear the wasp will do any vajayjay damage. So, the doctor quickly undresses, smears the honey on his wang, and instantly gets an erection, at which time he begins to plug the wife.
Plug?
Only, he doesn't stop and withdraw, but continues with vigor.
Ooh.
The husband shouts, what the hell's happening? To which the doctor replies, change of plan. I'm gonna drown the bastard.
Oh, do you know wasps can hold their breath for 3 hours, Cliff?
No, they cannot.
They can too, so he's got a lot of work to do. That was such a devoted doctor. Did I ever tell you about
what
the time that
a
bug flew in my ear?
No.
Oh, God, I had to go to the doctor, and I waited for 4 hours while it beat against my eardrum, and then finally, as it started to crawl out, the doctor walked in the room and my mother said, oh, we've already got it. Okay.
Oh, my God. What a bitch doctor.
He was a bitch doctor. He wasn't as devoted as the doctor in your story. That clip, there was this middle-aged couple that had two stunningly beautiful teenage daughters.
I hate them.
I know.
All the people in this joke.
They decided to try one last time for the son that they always wanted, Cliff. I don't know why. I don't know why they wanted to bring another person into the world.
Sexist bastards.
But after months of trying, the wife became pregnant, and sure enough, 9 months later, delivered a healthy baby boy. Now, the joyful father rushed to the nursery to see his new son.
He's gonna be gay.
He took one look and was horrified to see the ugliest child he had ever seen in his life.
It was me.
He went to his wife, your dad went to his your mother, and said there was no way that he could be the father of this child. Look at the two beautiful daughters that I have fathered. And then he gave her a stern look and said, have you been cheating on me? And the wife said, not this time.
Oh, shit.
Those two daughters were not his. What a whore.
What a bitch slut.
Now,
that was like an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, Carrie.
Terrible. Tell your joke. Tell it.
Your name is Kendall.
And yes,
the name of one of these ladies in this joke is Mary, and I combined the two. I said, Carrie. So let me start this over.
Okay.
Mary went to Jill's place to tell her about a horrible experience she'd had the previous night with this guy she brought home.
Oh.
Well, what happened when you got there? Jill asked.
Oh, no.
That bastard called me a blonde slut.
What a bastard.
Oh, and what did you do then? Jill asked, shocked. I told him to get the hell out of my bedroom and take his 8 friends with him. It was going to be a gangbang.
She was shocked.
She was shocked.
Something smelled so bad over here.
Why? What did you eat for lunch?
I don't know what happened over here, but something smells horrible. Necklace. A woman recently lost her husband. This is real sad.
Oh, this is like a Dear Cliff and Kendall.
She had him cremated and brought his ashes home with her.
Technical difficulties have occurred with Cliff and Kendall. Please do not adjust your broadband connection. Thank you.
That was not the joke, Cliff. She brought his ashes home with her. Now,
the punchline. She brought his ashes home with her.
So funny. Now, picking up the urn that he was in, she poured his ashes on the counter. And while she traced her fingers in the ashes, she started talking to him, Cliff. And she said, Irving. He had an old-timey name. His name is Irving.
Irving?
She said, Irving, you know that fur coat you promised me? I bought it with the insurance money. Irving, remember that new car you promised me? Well, I bought it with the insurance money. Irving, you know that emerald necklace you promised me? I bought it, too, with the insurance money. And while she was still tracing her fingers through the ashes, she says, remember that blow job I promised you?
Oh,
here it comes.
Shit.
Oh,
snap.
She's going to blow his ashes off the counter. She's going to have to vacuum that up later.
Snap. See, we think of things always from the janitorial perspective.
See, all I thought about was the mess that she was going to cause with that blowjob.
Somebody is going to have to sweep him up.
She probably has a maid sweep it up with the insurance money.
Bitch. All right. Now, Kendall, a young man walked up and sat down at the bar.
A young man? Me?
Yeah. No, this is the opposite of you. What can I get you? The bartender inquired. And the young man said, I want 6 shots of Jägermeister.
I don't know. It's pretty similar to me already.
Six shots? Are you celebrating something? That's what the bartender said. That's what he sounded kind of like. And the man answered, yeah, I'm celebrating my first blowjob. Kendall, can you believe it?
Oh, not like me.
The bartender, he said, well, in that case, let me give you a 7th shot on the house. I don't know where he picked up this accent.
5, 6, get 1 free.
Yeah, and so the man answered, no offense, sir, but if 6 shots of Jägermeister won't get rid of this taste, nothing will. Oh, taste of a blowjob.
Oh, that was not like me at all.
Kendall, we have all been there where you have blowjob mouth and you just have to go and you have to get some mouthwash. You have to do it sometimes,
Kendall. Why would you give a blowjob if you didn't like the taste? Cliff, I've got to take a break. That was so controversial. Right.
Kendall, I feel like, what the hell is this show about? I have forgotten.
Oh, procrastination. But more on that in a minute.
We'll get to that after the break.
After the break.
More sass right after this.
Hey, Kendall, do you like fruit?
No.
Oh, whoa. Hey, how about ice cream?
Ooh.
That's what I thought. Kendall, give me your quick opinion on Sweet Lady Mango.
What a whore.
Oh, my God. Hey, Kendall, ice cream.
Ooh.
It's the rich man's fruit and, ooh, yuck, fruit. It is the poor man's ice cream, and we all know rich is better than poor, right? Some folks are just better than others. And ice cream is just better than fruit. Kendall, who do we have to thank for that?
God!
You got that right, brother. Ice cream. It's what's for dessert.
Ooh.
Let's rejoin our regularly scheduled Fatcast. I mean podcast.
All right, Cliff, we are back.
Oh, back.
Back.
How back are we?
We are.
If this were a joke, that would be the response. How back are you?
Oh, we're enormously back, Cliff. That's how back we are.
It's weird how back we are.
It's weird. But you know what else is weird, Cliff?
What?
This weird news. It's time for Kendall's Weird News! I have to put my hand up in the air. That helps me say that better.
I know. Thank you for sharing this weird news with us. You're welcome. As though it only belongs to you.
You're welcome. You. You out there. Now, Cliff, Ralph.
Kendall, thank you for addressing the listeners.
You're welcome. Ralph Canone, 68, was arrested.
Canone, what an idiot.
He was 68. He was arrested in Columbus, Ohio in March after witnesses identified him as the man who several times had walked up behind young children, punched them on the head when their parents weren't looking, and walked away as if nothing happened. According to police, Canone confessed that he had been punching children in public since January because he liked the excitement of getting away with something. I bet that's what happened to little Johnny. I bet he was punched in the back of the head by Ralph Canone. Now,
maybe. What a bitch!
What a bitch. Now, Roberta Finesmith, 67.
What's a Finesmith?
Who had been fired by the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York City.
Oh, Roberta.
She filed a wrongful discharge lawsuit in February, claiming that despite glowing job reviews for 12 years, she was terminated because of her age and because she complained to other workers about her recently hired supervisor's constant barrages of, Cliff, you're going to love this, flatulence.
Belches? Oh, flatulence. Bottom belches.
Bottom belches.
Let's get people to call farts bottom belches.
Oh, bottom belches. They smell so bad. Now, Cliff. Oh, my God. Cliff just.
Oh, Kendo, you have been bottom belching over there.
Cliff just coined a term.
I feel like Mrs. Butter, Butter, Butter churn.
You do. You're as. Yeah. In February,
when she
Cliff
coined the phrase to coin a
to coin a phrase. Now, in February, Cliff, a one-armed man swiped a single cufflink from the CJ Vinton shop in Leon C, England.
Let him have it. His life is too hard.
And in March, a one-legged man swiped a single Nike trainer shoe from a store in Barnsley, England.
That was a top burp.
Now the. The one-armed man is still on the loose, but the one-armed leg man was arrested. Just in case you're wondering.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And finally, Cliff, supervisors at the Department for Work and Pensions in Carlisle, England, issued a directive in March to short-handed staff on how to ease their telephone workload during their busy midday schedule. Workers were told to pick up the ringtone phone, recite a message as if they were an answering machine. Due to the high volume of inquiries we are requiring, experience, we are unable to take your call. Please call back later and immediately hang up. That's what we do on our show, right? Because we have so many callers. We say, thanks for calling Cliff and Kendall. We are experiencing high volume of callers. Please call back later. And then we just hang up.
We just hang it up.
And that is all, Cliff, for Weird.
Weird. How weird.
Wasn't that weird, Cliff? Wasn't that weird how that news was so weird? Oh, my God. That hurt my ears. It was so weird. I didn't need my hearing.
Kendall,
I didn't need
no.
it. I didn't need it. What are we talking about? What is this show about,
Kendall,
Cliff?
Procrastination, let me tell you, I have something here about procrastination I wanted to tell you.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay. Doctors in Langham, England.
Oh, wait, Cliff. Yes. Before you get to that, I think we should do one of our segments that we haven't done in a while. Our songs you should know.
Oh. This is our underground cult favorite.
I thought segment. It was.
It's a cult classic.
It's time segment. For the game show that makes you want to sing out loud. Oh, songs you should know. Oh. And here's your host. Those two big old fatzos from Nashville, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh, yes.
I'm having so much fun. How about you?
Well, that was your best intro ever.
I thought it might be. Now, Cliff, do you have a song that I should know over there?
I do. Kendall, I'm starting out with one from your generation, the baby boomers.
The 60s. Uh-huh.
And it starts out like this.
Uh-huh. That's a weird song. I have no idea what that song is.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you.
Oh, I know that.
Fairy tales any song
can come true. It can happen true. To you.
It can happen to you.
Is it, it's like... Isabel and Oltre.
No!
No? What is it?
It can happen to you if you're young at heart.
Oh, I would never guess that. I'm so bad at this. All right.
How wrong are you? People are worried about how wrong you are.
On a scale from 1 to 10, Cliff, I am 15 on the wrong scale.
Oh no.
All right, now I'm going to try to do this. Without getting messed up with this background music. All right.
Okay.
I'm packed and I'm holding. I'm smiling. She's living. She's golden. She lives for me. She says she lives for me ovation. She's got her own motivation.
That is a song by Third Eye Blind.
Yes.
That I do not know the name
of. Oh, well, then that means you are wrong and fat.
That is a
semi-charmed kind of life by Third Eye Blind.
Okay.
You were half right. I gotta give you that.
Yeah. I'm quadruple fat. Kendall, my next one, oh, it's so sad.
Okay.
Get ready to cry.
Okay.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go.
I already know it.
I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. But isn't that beautiful?
Leaving on a jet plane. I actually won best solo for that in high school in marching band.
You did? What did you... singing?
No, on the trumpet. I won best solo at our competition.
Oh, I love that song.
I do too. Well, you should hear me play it on the trumpet. It'll make you cry. All right.
For many reasons.
All right, here we go. You can tell the world you never was my girl. You can burn my clothes up when I'm gone. Or you can tell my friends just what a fool I've been.
And laughing,
jack and joke on the phone. Yep, it don't tell my heart.
My achy, breaky heart.
I just don't think it understands.
Understand.
And if you're telling me. Okay, yes, correct.
Kendall, do you remember the year of our lives when that song was it?
I don't remember it. I remember how fat I was, though. Unfortunately, okay. That's still the case.
On an unrelated note, I remember how fat I am.
Yep.
Lord in heaven,
help us.
Do you have another song?
Yeah, don't you have another one? It's your turn.
Yeah. No, I just did. Oh, you just did Achy Breaky
Heart. I did Achy Breaky Heart. Stay up.
In my head, leaving on a jet plane is still reverberating. So, okay. This is one that you should know.
Okay, I should know. That's why it's called Songs You Should Know.
Something in the way you love me won't let me be. I don't want to be your prisoner, so baby, won't you set me free? Stop playing with my heart. Finish what you start when you make my love come down.
Is that a Madonna song?
Yes!
I know it's Madonna. I don't know the name of the song, though.
Just try to understand. I'm giving all I can, 'cause you got the best of me. You still don't know it?
I don't know the name of the song. I'm sorry.
Oh. Idiot.
I think I just proved that I'm heterosexual.
Borderline. Feels like I'm going to lose my mind. You just keep on pushing my love over the borderline.
Is the name of the song Borderline?
Yeah!
Oh, look at me, I got it.
You idiot.
Cliff, I have a harmonica over here for my next one.
Oh, good.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God!
Here we go. Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and think of you.
It is to laugh, Kendall. This is a... You are throwing me softballs.
I know I am, Cliff.
Time after time.
You are correct. Made famous by the movie Drama Queen.
Drama Queen. Not only was I listening to Cyndi Lauper, She's So Unusual, the album that's on yesterday.
How did I know that?
I've seen Romeo and Michelle, a movie it is featured in, 5 billion times.
Oh, is it in that movie? I've seen that movie, but I need to rewatch it before my high school reunion this year.
Yes, you do. It's one of the great films of all time.
The great films of all time. Well,
the great ones.
That's all the time.
When they speak of the great ones, long after our civilization is
over.
That's
all the time we have for Songs You Should Know. Join us next time for more Songs You Should Know or Fat People.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. Things are going crazy over here, Cliff.
Oh, God.
Whenever things are crazy, I have an alarm that goes off saying I am doing the wrong thing.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Kendall, what do women and milk cartons have in common?
Oh, they both procrastinate, Cliff.
You gotta open the flaps to get to the good stuff.
Oh, God.
Isn't that vile?
That is vile, Cliff. Why would you ever say that on this show?
I saved that one until after the kids are in bed.
Oh, good. Now, Cliff, do you have anything else to say about procrastination?
I have a couple quotes.
Too late, because it's time for that sad music, Cliff. It's too late. We've procrastinated too long. It's time for the sad music. And it's so sad. You know, I often have nightmares where this song plays whenever anything real sad is happening.
Oh, heavens.
Isn't that sad?
It is sad.
Let me tell people, if they're sad or they're procrastinating on doing some like real work, they can check us out at cliffandkendall.com on their procrastination time. cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, twitter.com/cliffandkendall, emails at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com. Call us on our fat line at 818-308-4FAT, that's 4328, or search iTunes, Cliff and Kendall. You'll find us. We're there along with our Kathy Griffin podcast.
Oh, Kendall, you just love that. Kendall, do you know, I love it. Is a natural high.
It is a natural high. Now, Cliff, do you have a quote?
I do. I have a couple.
Me too. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
My first quote is this. Procrastination is something best put off until tomorrow, and that's Gerald Vaughn.
Okay. My first one says, the two rules of procrastination. Number one, do it today. Number two, tomorrow will be today tomorrow.
That's
and that
a
is
good
for
one.
You, Kendall, an unknown Arthur.
Speaking of unknown Arthurs, Cliff, if it weren't for the last minute, I wouldn't get anything done. And that's also an unknown Arthur.
Oh, Kendall, he said two great things there. Kendall, never put off until tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow.
Oh, that's Benny Franklin, isn't it?
That is Mark Twain, a contemporary Benjamin
Where did
Franklin.
I think Benny Franklin said that for? He said, go fly kite. That's what he
Listen,
said.
Listen, Kendall, if we had been alive in Benny Franklin's day, we would be doing an unofficial Benny Franklin fan cast. He said so many good things. Kendall, if you want to make an easy job seem mighty hard, just keep putting off doing it. And that was said by Olin Miller.
Oh, you got so many quotes. Why don't you take us home with all those quotes, Cliff?
Well, Kendall, I've got another quote, but I'm going to push that one. I'm going to do that one next episode.
Oh, you're going to procrastinate that one until next time.
Yeah, a little bit. Take me home. I'll sing the rest of that song later, y'all. I'm Cliff.
Oh, and I'm going to play my harmonica.
That is a euphemism.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening, everybody. I was procrastinating, wow. Cliff. I was procrastinating.
Where are we, Kendall? What world is this with this harmonica?
Say that. You love us, Cliff. Say it.
Kendall, I liken your harmonica to my cowbell. And when we love you.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.
Why would you give a blowjob if you didn't like the taste?